I'm continuing my series today in the Always God. And I started this just a few weeks back, and I was going to pick it up this past week, but we were unable to get here. Our plane was delayed to get here. It's been a few weeks now, but we learned that God is always, last time the sermon was, God is always pursuing the lost. He's always in pursuit. And I pray that over our missions conference that you heard a specific invitation for God to join, from God to join him in pursuit of where he is in pursuit. Not only, though, is he pursuing the lost, but he is also pursuing us in relationship. Yes or no? Yes, he's always pursuing us. We are not called into an intimate relationship with Jesus just to get the silent treatment from him. So we don't get saved and get in relationship and then just don't hear anything back from him. Getting saved is not a transactional function. Being saved is entering into a relational covenant with Jesus Christ, and then when we're in a covenant, he's going to pursue you. He will continually pursue you where you are because he loves you. That's why he pursues you, because he loves you. And in that pursuit, while he's pursuing, as he's doing that, he's speaking to you. He's going to speak. God is always speaking. Have you ever had a friend or a family member, maybe a kid, that was a talker? You just describe them as a talker. Anybody know? Am I in there? Yes. Okay. I've got a buddy. He doesn't go here. I got a buddy. He's a talker. And everybody knows he's a talker. And he's the only person I know that can have a conversation with me and I not be included in the conversation. Do you have somebody that way that you know? They just know. He can tell me how he's doing, and then he can ask me how I'm doing, and then he'll tell me how I'm doing, and then he'll tell me why I was doing that way, and he's like, I knew you was doing that way, because I just knew that. I saw when I saw you. I knew you were just feeling that way, and I was like, and then he'll say, well, it was good to talk to you. I gotta go. It was good. And he'll walk away, and I will not have said a word at all. And he'll walk away and he'll really not know how I'm doing. And because of the dynamic of that kind of conversation, and you know what I'm talking about, when I see him nowadays, I just don't even try. I'm just like, well, there he is again. So, and I've given up on trying to have a conversation with him because he does that every time. I just don't. I'm like, hey, how you doing? And that's about all I get out. And so when God is speaking, and God is always speaking, God's a talker. I've said that before, but not in that way. So God's not always just talking and tell us how we're doing and tell us how we ought to be doing and tell us how he's doing and then you ought to be doing this way and this. And sometimes we think that God, it just does that. In fact, God is a perfect conversationalist. You ever thought about that? God is a perfect conversationalist. Jesus perfectly pursues us. And in that pursuit, he asks us questions not to get to know us because he knows us better than we know ourselves, but he asks us questions for us to get to know him and for us to get to know ourselves. Yes? All right, now, let me give you another example. Do you just have one of those friends that you know each other so well that friend can walk into a room and you make eye contact with them and their eyes, y'all just start communicating with the eyes? You know, you just walk in and you're like, and you just had a whole conversation right there. You know what I'm talking about? And you can tell what they're wearing, what mood they're in. They walk in with all sweats, you know, looking all bummed out. You know that they're just in relax mode. You just know that. You can tell by the tone of voice what kind of day they're having. You just know. And then when you talk, you're going to know what the other person's about to say. And so then someone else will say something, and you'll cut a look to them. Like somebody else in the room, and you'll cut that look, and they'll cut the look at you, and y'all have that whole conversation about what that person just said over there. Anybody got a friend like that? Okay. When you sit down to talk, you share with each other. You ask questions, and you listen, and you ask, and you get to know them, and they get to know you. If you're having a good day, you tell them. If you're having a bad day, you tell them. They tell you. You receive it. If there are a few days that go by in silence, you don't worry about that. You know that they ain't left you, so you're secure in that relationship. And when you see them again, you pick back up where you left off. And that relationship fuels you. When you're with the person, you're just fueled. You just love it. It's home. It's where you want to be. That's the kind of communication and relationship that God intends to have with his children even better. It's even better. How do I know that? Well, one of the ways that I know that that's the kind of communication he has is because of the mechanism of prayer. And he has established prayer as communication with him. Now, let me ask you this. Is prayer a one-way or a two-way street? It's a two-way street. Good. Good. God speaks to us in prayer, doesn't he? And we speak to him in prayer. God is always pursuing. He's always speaking. Now, today I want to show you in this passage of some of the ways that God is speaking. And all, I think all of my points are in this passage, and we're going to have to mount them. So I want to share some of the way, I want to share how God speaks, but I also want to share some of the ways that we are can hinder us from hearing God speak, okay? We'll go on. Now, before I go any further, I want to say this. The Word of God, as we have it, is the complete revelation of the character and nature of God, the Word of God. Everything that we need to know about how to live and relate to God is complete in the Word of God. In the Greek, that's called, this word is called the Logos word. You've heard of that term, the Logos word, which means the written Word of God, the written Word of God. But there's also another word for the Word of God in the Greek, and that's the Rhema word of God, and that means the spoken Word of God. And some of you have been going through First Principles class. You've studied some of this, the Logos word, the Rhema God. Now, when God speaks to us, I want you to hear me very carefully. When God speaks to us, it will not be an extra biblical revelatory word. You following me? When God speaks to us, it will not be an extra revelation out of the Word, but it will be an applicable, specific word for our lives in our circumstances that comes from the Word in principle and nature. In other words, when we're reading the Logos word in our personal study and devotion, when we're reading the word, we should pray and ask God to give us a Rhema word. Speak to us through your Logos. Lord, speak a fresh application over me today through your written word today. Let me give you an example from the first principle course that some of you have been engaged in. When Abraham took his son Isaac up to the mountain, to the altar, that was what the Greek called Rhema. In Hebrew, it's the word debar. And it was a word specifically to Abraham. And so when we read that, we know that God is not calling us specifically to sacrifice our firstborn sons on the altar, right? You know that that's not, even though that's in Scripture, it's in the Logos word, and God told Abraham to do that. We know that that was a Rhema word to Abraham, or a Dabar word, a spoken word of God to Abraham that we read in the Logos word. But what we do know, instead, we know the Logos word is very clear about faith. It speaks to us about faith, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, I want you to follow me here. A Rhema word, a spoken word, cannot be fully and correctly understood without the Logos word applied. You follow me? Okay, I just want you to know. So here's why I'm telling you this. There are people that believe that God does not speak today. There are people that believe he does not speak today, and that he has said everything that he has to say in his word. But in reality, the truth is that God does Rhema, the Logos, afresh and anew in our lives every day. That's why the Word of God, Scripture says, is active and living and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's why. Henry Blackaby said it this way. Everybody heard of Henry Blackaby, the experiencing God? He says, if you have trouble hearing God speak, you are in trouble at the very heart of your Christian experience. See, God is always speaking forth into our lives, and I want to show you how, okay? So if we would, let's just stand in the honor of reading God's word very quickly. I'm going to be in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 through 15. Holy Spirit, would you be with us now as we read your word? Teach us, Lord, what we need to know. In Jesus' name, amen. One day, Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord. Who's the angel of the Lord, by the way? Anybody study this? Jesus. Okay? So it's yes, good, Jesus. Appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush. Okay, so that's how we know it was God. When it said the angel of the Lord, that's how we know it was Jesus, because it says here, it confirms it here. He says, Moses, Moses, here I am, Moses replied. Do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And when Moses heard this, he heard him speaking, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries for distress because of the harsh slave drivers. And yes, I am aware. I have seen, I have heard, I'm aware. By the way, God sees, he hears, he's aware of what's going on in your life. He knows, okay? He's receptive, perceptive. So I have come down to rescue from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, and the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hevites, and Jebusites now live. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me. I've heard them. And I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abused them. Now go, now I'm sending you to Pharaoh. Go to Pharaoh and lead my people out of Egypt. I'm calling you to do a big thing now. I'm speaking to you, calling you forth. Look at what Moses says. I protest. Moses protested to God. He says, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people out of Egypt? God answered, I will be with you. Holy Spirit's with us. And then this is your sign that I am the one who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain. But look at this. But Moses protested. If I go to the people of Israel and tell them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? See, Moses is being a little stubborn here, by the way. He's protesting. And then God answered, here's a burning bush, by the way, and he's protesting God speaking out of a burning bush. That's up there. Then verse 14, God replied to Moses. And I kind of think God did this kind of sternly. I think he says, I am who I am. You just tell them, I am who I am, Moses. Get your act together. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Just tell them what I tell you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and Jacob has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, by the way, my name to be remembered for all generations. God bless the reading of his word. You can be seated. Listen, when we read this passage, we can see that God will get your attention. He will get your attention to speak to you, for here it was with creation in the burning bush. He'll speak, he'll listen as you speak, you'll learn, and then he will take action and he'll send. We can pull that out of this. There is communication in relationship with God. There is communication, and then there's always action. Never just communication. There's always communication, always action. If you're taking notes, here's how God will speak to you. He will speak through creation. I pulled that right out of this passage. He used a bush. He didn't have to, but he did. Burning bush. Do you sometimes wish that God would just write what he wants to say in the sky right there for you to see it? Just put it in the sky for me, God. Just do it. Well, according to the psalmist, he does. So every single day, by the way, according to the psalmist. Psalm 19:1, he says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge." Day to day, night to night. Whether it's daytime or nighttime, you look around, God's going to speak to you. You just look around, God will speak. Have you ever stared up at a canopy of stars? Have you ever stared on the beach, been on a beach, and just stared out at the vastness of the ocean? See, when we do that, no one ever stands there or looks up and says, "How great I am. Oh, I'm just wonderful. How big I..." No, you don't ever say that. See, those are the moments all along. There are many moments all along in the creation and the operations in our planet and on our earth where we know in our knower that there is something greater. You stand at the ocean, you know you're small. You look up at the canopy of stars, you look there and you know you're small and you know that there's something greater. You know that in your knower. You know that. And in that moment, see, you know what God's doing through his creation? He's putting us in our place. God has a way of putting us in our place when he speaks to us. Even creation, listen to me, is evangelical and a missionary to the nations because creation cries out as a witness of the Creator, telling of his greatness, telling of his power, his might, and his judgment, our need to know him and serve him. Creation will tell you that. Creation tells you that. Romans 1:18 says this, "But God shows his anger from heavens against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness." They know the truth about God, look at this, because he's made it obvious to them. "For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky, and through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature." Look at this. "So they have no excuse for not knowing God." Creation alone, his creation, will witness on his behalf. Isn't that good? Yes. Have you ever thought about what God is saying to you through his creation? Have you ever thought about that? See, he shows us what he values: diversity, order, consistency, and beauty. How do those apply to our life? You ever have thought about that? Not only that, see, our heart and our lungs, that our heart that beats and our lungs that contract and detract when we take in air, we're not in control of any of that. Those are all involuntary that happens, that those are life-giving functions that we cannot control. And just by us as his creation, we can know we are not the ruler of our domain. You can draw those conclusions logically. There is a creator always speaking to us through his creation. Good? Here's point number two. God speaks to us through Jesus. I picked that up out of Exodus 3. He speaks to us through Jesus. Now, John 1:1, you know this, very familiar. "In the beginning, the word Jesus already existed. The word Jesus was with God. The word was God." So, in verse 14 says, "So the word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son." Jesus Christ the Son is the full and final revelation of God to man. When Jesus came to earth, God was saying, "I am right here. I am right in front of you." If you want to recognize the voice of God, I wish I could hear him. If you want to know the personality of God, if you want to know his ins and outs, if you want to know how God will respond to you in a certain situation, get to know Jesus. Get to know Jesus. Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 14, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've heard me, you've heard the Father." Everything about me, it's the Father. I reflect the Father. When you hear Jesus, you're hearing from God. If you want to know what God thinks about some of your thoughts and actions, read the red letters. Read it. If you want to know God's attitude toward sin, if you want to know his attitude toward religion and how he feels about sinners, if you want to know that, if you want to know what to do at the ballot box, read about Jesus. Jesus was gentle and merciful and loving, but he was also firm and definitive and offensive. Both and. See, the world says, oh, Jesus is loving. Yes, he is. That's half the truth. Jesus is loving, gentle, merciful, kind, all the things, but he's also offensive, definitive, and firm. He'll turn over a table. Matthew 11, 6, blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Jesus said that. Jesus is offensive to our flesh nature. The Jesus that turned over tables in the temple was the same one who went to the cross willingly and humiliated and was slandered and was mocked and didn't say a word. Like a lamb. If you want God to speak to you and you apply it to your own life, let him speak to you through Jesus Christ and his word. When Jesus speaks, God speaks. Here's number three. God, isn't this good? This is a good pace, isn't it? Here we go. We're getting through it. God speaks through the word. He speaks through his word. He speaks through his word. Okay, the word of God is what we call the canon of Scripture. You've heard that phrase before, the canon of Scripture. Canon simply means, if you look it up, it simply means a measuring stick or standard. It's the standard. Okay, God's word is the measuring stick of all life. God's word is the standard by which we're to live. If we want to know how to live, it's God's word. Okay, the Bible is the divine revelatory measuring stick of God speaking to us. It's God's letter. It's God's love letter to us. Now, it's a closed canon, meaning it is finished and final. Nothing will be added. Nothing will be taken away or taken back. And we see that in Scripture. When the Bible speaks, God speaks. If you read it, you can guarantee God is what God's saying. In fact, you must read it that way. There's no other way to read it. Isaiah 48 says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. Matthew 24, 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Hebrews 4, 12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing, dividing the soul and the spirit of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. 2 Timothy 3, 16 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And 1 Peter 1:21 says, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. See, we're gathered today. You sit here and listen to a proclamation of the word of God because you believe that God wants to speak a fresh rhema word to you from the word. That's why you're here. It is my persuasion that one of these three things, okay, this is just my opinion, my persuasion that one of these things is happening when people start to distance themselves from hearing the word, either in a corporate setting or at home. If you're getting away from the word, from a studying or from studying on your own or being under the word, here's just a few things. This isn't in your, I don't think this is in your worship guide. I'm not there yet. It's either A, okay, the truth is not being proclaimed. The truth of the word is not being proclaimed. And you're just hearing nonsense. And so you're like, this isn't doing anything for me. Okay? This is there's no power in what's being proclaimed from behind the pulpit. So I'm getting disinterested. And it's not through the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's one reason why people start to distance themselves from being under the word of God. B, there is sin blocking you from hearing and understanding the truth of the word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Or C, people don't realize and anticipate that God speaks fresh and anew today through his word. You're either not hearing a word proclaimed, or the Holy Spirit is not speaking to you through your word in your personal time. You're not allowing him to do that. There's sin in your life blocking you, or there's no anticipation that he can and will speak to you when you gather. And I believe for those, some of those reasons, that's just my opinion. I didn't get that from anywhere. It's just my opinion, my observations over the years. See, it's at the conclusion of every one of our services, we ask the question. What's the question that we ask? At the very end, when I say bow with me and I ask you a question, what's the question I ask you? What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? That's not just a catchphrase around here. We say that because we recognize that God Almighty speaks through His Word. And when He speaks and we receive what He's saying by faith, it has to be received by faith, then there will be decisions made, choices to contend with, sin to be confronted, and transformation will begin to take place. That's the power of the Word of God empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's what it does. Thank you. Number four, if you're taking notes, God speaks through the Holy Spirit. He speaks through the Holy Spirit. John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own, but He'll tell you what He has heard. Look at this. He will tell you about the future. He'll prophesy over you. He will bring me glory and by telling you whatever He receives from me. One of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus by taking what He says and enabling us to be able to understand it and apply it. That's the role of the Holy Spirit. You won't be able to understand the proclamation of the Word as I give it unless it might be a good little speech for you. Could be. You could rationally kind of understand it, take it in. It will never pierce the soul unless the Holy Spirit takes it to the soul. He's the one who quickens the soul with the power of the Word. I can mesmerize your mind with a good skill, but I do not have the power or the ability to take the Word of God and change your life with it. The Holy Spirit's the only one who can do that and apply it and do it where you understand. Conviction doesn't come from my words. Conviction comes from the work of the Spirit through the Word. So if you're feeling it, you're not feeling it because of something that I'm saying. If you're feeling something tug at your heart, that's why we say tug at your heart. If you're feeling something stirring in your heart, I'm telling you there's not anything external that can do that except the person of the Holy Spirit. That's why sometimes the Scripture, the Holy Spirit is referred to as the Spirit of Truth. He's also the Counselor. There's a word that's used, it kind of tickles me, but He's the Paraclete. And I always think of like He's the parakeet, you know, He's the little guy on your shoulder. That's what I think of when I think He's the parakeet. But it's the paraclete and He's the Counselor. He's the Teacher. He's the Helper. Here's what I need you to hear me say. God speaks through His Spirit. And this is important because what He speaks through His Spirit will never contradict His Word. It will never contradict His Word. So if you ever sense that God is prompting you toward an action for you to say something to somebody or to someone, and just know that the Holy Spirit and the Holy Word will act in unity and in one accord. They will line up perfectly in content and delivery. Have you ever had somebody that said, I got a word, Lord told me, and then they spout off something in some kind of way that's degrading or demeaning or condescending to you? I'm telling you, that word, it might be a truthful word, but it is not a word from the Holy Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit delivers a word through somebody, it will be accurate in the function and the form. It will be delivered through the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we need the Holy Spirit's guidance in every area of our lives. Every area. Every area. But what about that? Every area. See, what we've done is we've compartmentalized our spirituality. We compartmentalize it. And we think Well, here are the convictions I have, the way I talk, the way I act, the way I vote. And we can there's things we can easily spiritualize. I got that. I understand that. That's I get spiritualized. And then it's easy to see how God speaks to us through sexual immorality, through giving, through love, through justice. We can do that. We don't have to wonder about those things, and we place them in the spiritual category of our life. That's the spirit. But then there are those parts of the life that we don't consider spiritual. Our flesh nature automatically draws us that way, so don't feel bad if you're like this. But we'll be there, and it's in things like how we spend our money, buying or selling a house, moving to a different location, the next steps in a relationship or a friendship, where are we going to go to eat after lunch today, what clothes we buy, what color, how we all of those things. See, we're real good. We've got these spiritual things we'll compartmentalize, then we've got these fleshly, worldly things that we'll compartmentalize. And I've heard people say to me, we don't have to spiritualize everything. There are certain things people will say that I am free to make a decision on that it didn't have to be spiritual. For instance, someone has told me before, Daniel, God doesn't care where I go to lunch today. It's up to me. God doesn't care. Or does he? I just want to raise that question. And you're like, well, what do you mean? Why would he care where I choose to go to lunch today? All right, now let me raise this question. What if the Lord has a divine appointment for you somewhere? And you ask the Holy Spirit, hey, where you want me to go to lunch today? You don't have to be weird about it. Be like, okay, Lord, where do you want me to go? And he leads you to go to a place of divine appointment, and he just happens to use you to share the gospel or use one of the gifts of the Spirit to encourage somebody that he had lined up to be there at the drive-thru at Wendy's. I'm telling you, do not close your ears to what I'm saying. I wish I would have learned it sooner. I wish someone had taught me to live life that way. I'm telling you, we need the Holy Spirit's work in every area of our lives. Every area. Every area. And God is still speaking today through his Spirit. And we can have an encounter with God when he speaks and we listen. You know that's true. You know it's true. So why do we have a hard time hearing God? I want to share three reasons why we can have a hard time hearing God. I pulled them out of the Exodus 3 passage. Number one, sin. Sin can hinder us. We can have a hard time hearing God's voice because of sin. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it, for only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Now, this passage in context is talking about people who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them. We know that. Meaning they haven't accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior yet. That's what this passage is referring to. If you're not saved, you will not be able to hear God speaking. Okay. Although you will be able to have some knowledge of God, because that's how God implants that in us. Even though you will not be able to understand the things of the Spirit of God that are revealed through Scripture and through the Holy Spirit. Okay? Anything that a non-believer would be able to understand about God and his Word will only be through the natural mind and the capacity of reason that they have. You follow me? Okay, so as you're sharing scripture, meaningful scripture with an unbeliever, and do it, God can use it, just know they're not going to be able to spiritually take it in and apply it as you do. Okay, there's a blocker there. Now, like I said, 1 Corinthians 2 is speaking about unbelievers, but I want to tell you, and you know this to be true, unrepentant sin in the life of a believer will also have the same spiritual deafening and blinding effect. You can be saved and have unrepentant sin in your life that is hindering your spiritual senses to the things of God. You can. But here's the good news. You want to hear good news? Repentance of sin opens up the spiritual senses. Repentance opens up the spiritual senses. Repentance is like Afrin to a blocked nostril. You know what I'm saying? It's true, though. You squirt some Afrin up there. Okay, I just made that up. Here's the second thing that'll hinder you. Stubbornness. I picked that up from the Exodus 3 passage. You follow me? You seeing how I'm tagging Exodus 3 here with these points? I'm excited. Hebrews 3, and I'm almost done. So Hebrews 3, 7 and 13 says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, but exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Have you ever had a callus? You ever had a callus anywhere? Bottom of your foot? I don't know. If you play the guitar, you get a callus. What that is that's the buildup, the thickness of dead skin on the top that it protects tender skin underneath. Okay. That's what our spiritual hearts can look like when we continually say no to God. It hardens. See, what happens is the spiritual heart begins to harden, and it prohibits the word of God from penetrating the tender part of the heart. And it's not that God's not speaking. So it's like, I ain't hear God. It ain't that he's not speaking. It ain't that he's not speaking. It's that we haven't obeyed what he has spoken, and we haven't surrendered to what he has spoken before, and we've gotten stubborn like Moses did. God was speaking to Moses through a burning bush. And Moses was standing there stubborn. Don't think we don't get stubborn when we hear God speak to us. I hear you. I see what it says there, but I'm gonna ask a few more questions. But what about God? But what about this? But what about this? And what about this? See, that can happen. And every time we do that, there's just a little bit. It can cause just a little bit of callus on the heart. Until we're so stubborn in our pridefulness, in our spiritual pride, then we can't hear him speak. And he's saying, hello! I'm trying to get through to you. I'm even showing you in my word. There's someone pointing it out to you and you can't even see it. Where are you at? Now here's the danger with a stubbornness of heart. I'm telling you, you can, because I've been there. You can busy yourself with ministry and service and have a stubborn heart that's not open to hearing the things of the Spirit. You certainly can. Here's the third thing, and I'm done. To hinder you from hearing will be yourself. You will get in the way every time. Now, our mission team kind of was a witness to that. When they got there, there was a little fear. They could have been stubborn, and they could have said, I can't do this. I can't. I'm not trained to do this. It's not legal for me to do this in the United States. I can't do this. Philippians 2:20 says, look at this. So what happens is we get so focused on ourselves. This ain't going to work for me. That ain't gonna work for me. Now, he says this in Philippians, he says, I have no one else like Timothy. He's talking about Timothy. He says, I've got no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares about your welfare. All the others, he's talking about all of the other helpers, all the other leaders, people there in the church, care only for themselves, and look at this, and not what matters to Christ. Timothy's the only one I've got that's not focused on himself and thinking about you and thinking about what Christ wants for you. See, when we're too busy listening to ourselves, when we're too busy wrapped up in ourselves, when we're too busy living for ourselves, you won't hear God speaking. You won't. See, our attention will not be turned to or tuned in to hearing God's voice. Why? Because our wants and our voice will drown out his voice all day long. When self is the driving force behind anything we do, you can bet God is not the voice behind it. You know how I know that? Because when God speaks, he puts self crucified at the cross. That's what he'll call you to do. I'm going to say that again. When God speaks and tells you to do something, it will require you to crucify yourself at the foot of the cross. Make sense? He won't speak. He won't if you're in the way. Living for and protecting ourselves will hinder us from hearing God. God speaking, don't let yourself get in the way of hearing his voice. The truth of this message, I want you to walk away with the truth of this message. God is speaking through his creation. He's speaking through Jesus. He's speaking through his word. And he's speaking through the Holy Spirit. And if you're not hearing God speak in your life, it could be unrepentant sin. It could be stubbornness of heart. Or it could be that you're focused on yourself. Isn't that a good word? Right out of Exodus chapter 3. You see that? You see that? You see that? Whew, that was good. How is he speaking to you today? I already told you he's speaking. What's he saying? What's stopping you from hearing? And how will you respond?